Yo, 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 check it out. This is the rapper Big Pooh, live and direct. Right now, you're checking out the Hip Hop Digest Show. Yeah.
Y'all new bitches ain't got no fucking lyrics, especially you popular new bitches, the pussy bitches. Y'all ain't got no lyrics, son. Y'all ain't got no lyrics. You talk about letting niggas skeet off in your fucking face. Have some respect for yourself, man. Y'all ain't got no respect, man. Y'all don't have no respect for yourselves talking about niggas, you eating niggas' asses and all kind of shit. What the fuck is wrong with y'all? Y'all taking whole fist in your asses and shit like that. You want niggas to stick a whole dick down into your esophagus. What the fuck is y'all bitches talking about, son? Nobody, well, we got kids now. We don't want to hear that shit. Y'all are out of pocket, man. We don't want to hear that. And then y'all be saying it, and y'all got kids. So I be like, yo, what the fuck is, what kind of parenting is going on out here, man? Not here, man.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
Yes, sir. E Green here, not Ezo Grizzo today, because pregame we was talking, so I gotta keep it 100 and keep it regular tonight.
All right. Hey, he's on the straight and narrow.
No, I don't know about too straight.
For the most part.
He about 65. What? 35.
I'll take it.
All right, no doubt. All right, so before we get started in the show heavy, All right. We're gonna take a quick detour. House Music Digest. Not so much House Music Digest, but this just happened to be the vehicle because it's really Spot AI. So I sent E Color 4 tracks. I took all the information out the tracks. But I mean, you know, you could hold your phone up to the tracks and get the information.
I did not do it though.
But either way, I sent you 4 blank tracks, and I'm like, one of the 4 is AI. And Swervin, you said what tracks you thought was AI.
Well, I gave it as good a listen as I could to each of them. And the ones that kind of sounded like too perfect to me were number 2 and number 4.
Okay. All right. So let me run through the list. All right. Because Kurt G already know what time it is. All right. Number 1, Michelle Weeks, Scott Diaz, Praise Him, Scott Diaz main mix. That is a regular record. Michelle Weeks is one of the best singers out there. So of course
you can find her. You can see a picture of her out there.
The next two, I did 2 Stacey Kids in a row. Number 2 was Stacey Kid, Tiffany Jenkins, We Exalt Thee main remix. Now, I'm going to spill the beans right now. Number 2, sir, Good Ear, that's the AI track.
and let me tell you what, Tiffany Jenkins, she had a fan. She had a real fan out here. Yeah. I was one of them like, yo, she can sing. Yeah, she is nice with it.
Yeah, we was gaffled.
We was gaffled out in these streets.
So let me run through the other 2 really quickly. It was a Stacey Kidd back-to-back. Stacey Kidd, Viola Sykes.
That's a real person.
He is the Lord. Okay. That's track number 3. And again, Stacey, I don't know why you don't have to do it, but you're doing it. And number 4, you thought was the other AI, which is one of the strongest gospel house records out there, is a Steve Silk Hurley, Vanessa Mitchell, and Ricky Dillard, of course, Higher. So, we only did this exercise just because the prevalence of AI is crazy. So crazy.
Yep.
And I am concerned, not so much about the musicians. I think the musicians will be fine because if you play live in clubs, they, you know, robots, at least not yet anyway. But that being said, but the singers and maybe MCs... God damn it. AI is just getting nuts. And I just was curious. Not that Egree's a regular listener, but, you know.
Yeah, it was just this. It was I know you said number 4 was not, but it just sounds so clean and perfect to me. I was like, this kind of sounds too good. But the second one, I'll be honest, it wasn't her singing per se so much. I mean, it was, but the music as well just didn't, it just sounded like the thing that we put on the text chain, the first one.
Right.
For us.
Right. Yeah.
It came across kind of like that, the second one. So
indeed.
I got it. Mostly right, I guess. Again, I'm 65-35 still, I guess.
Nah. You do your thing, man. You got a good ear to be able to recognize that, and you know, shout,
it's hard though.
Shout
B. To you.
It's getting harder and harder. Yeah, because they're getting better and better with this shit.
Yeah,
they're getting better and better with this shit. Yeah.
So, all right, that's enough of that. I just wanted to take a quick detour, you know, on the exercise we was doing, yes, and whatnot. Sir. So, I guess we'll get right into it.
Got to. We've been waiting.
All right. So this is, and I'm going to say this is going to be a pretty, hopefully a comprehensive hip hop digest, because we are, and I'm glad that we didn't rush right in. I'm glad we gave it a little bit of space, and we're talking about the death of Afrika Bambaataa and Afrika Bambaataa himself. And I'm glad we gave it space. Because I watched so many videos and listened to so many opinions about Afrika Bambaataa that I was like, every last one of the mofos to me sound like it was a viral thing to do.
It was
disingenuous to me, and it was just okay. The viral video thing to do. Now, a lot of things was happening in all of those videos. You got the whole Bambaataa, you know, don't rest in peace, rest in piss. You got the where Chuck D, you know, he said some words, you know, about Bambaataa. You know, the Bambaataa was gracious to him and Public Enemy, and that meant a lot to him. They shut Chuck D down. Shut him down. Took the post down. Yeah, shut him down. KRS-One is another one who took a lot of incoming fire because he is 100%. I wouldn't say he's a Bambaataa guy, but to me, KRS-One was more, this is the history, and Bambaataa was a part of that. Now, for equal time, you can say the alleged crimes if that's important to you. We all, you know, that's, I don't have a problem with that so much, but I guess I got a problem with the total, you think that you, all of what Bambaataa has done, that you going to cancel that? I mean, literally cancel that. And my first thoughts were, I wonder what Rocky Buchanan going to do, because I'm sure Bambaataa has a huge presence at the museum. And I wonder what Cornell University going to do, because they got all of Bambaataa's records, old gear, equipment, accolades, the history of what Bambaataa brought to Cornell University when he donated all that shit. What are they going to do? They're going to be like, put that shit in the basement, yo. And then who's going to fill the fucking vacuum? Because what I'm going to say about Bambaataa are factual to as far as we know. And I guess for you two, is there a balanced opinion? Because there's another guy who's way bigger than Bambaataa, and his legacy is just about repaired at this point. But we'll get into him later. All right. So let me go ahead. Go ahead and read the copy. Unless you guys got something you want to interject, I'm going to read the copy.
I had something to interject, but I'm going to go ahead and wait.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, B.
All right. So, sorry. I get my light together. Here. Nah, well, I had to get my light.
The bus is coming.
Right. All right. Lance Taylor, better known by his stage name, Afrika Bambaataa, was born April 17, 1957 in the Bronx, New York City. We know that during his teenage years, Bambaataa became involved with a local street gang called the Black Spades. New York City gangs, like I always say, and not like Chicago and LA gangs, but a gang nonetheless. After his life trajectory changed dramatically after winning an essay contest that took him to Africa in 1974, an experience that fundamentally changed his worldview. Okay, his uncanny ability to collect and play a wide variety of records earned him the nickname Master of Records. His contribution have earned him recognition as one of the godfathers of hip-hop alongside DJ Kool Herc and Grandmaster Flash. They're on that source cover to great consternation to our foundational brothers. But nonetheless, he's on that source cover. And long before hip-hop became a global phenomenon, Bambaataa founded the Universal Zulu Nation. So that's the early Bambaataa. Any gang, you know, DJ doing his thing, you know, saying hip hop is nothing at this point, you know, to the larger body politic. All right. In 1977, as the rise of his block parties. Now, this is the part where I'm saying without Bambaataa, things don't happen. People could speculate. You know, we do it in hip hop all the time. We love that third dimensional chess. Oh, if Biggie Tupac wouldn't have got killed, you know what I'm saying? It wouldn't be Drake. We love doing that. We love it. We do it all the time. You know what I'm saying? So I guess in a way, maybe I'm doing my own third dimensional chess. 1977. In 77, because of his parties, he's the one. Wasn't Herc, wasn't Flash, but he was the one who recognized the four disciplines and brought them under one roof. The initial four, DJing, MCing, B-boying, B-girls, and graffiti. It was Bambaataa who brought all those elements under one roof at his parties. All right. Along with that, he's transitioned gang culture because a lot of those people were in gangs. He transitioned gang culture into that. You know what I'm saying? You want to battle, be a DJ and battle the next guy. B-boy, battle the next guy. Battle on the train run. That type of thing. 1980, it's the key. This is the key for me personally. Tom Silverman went to the Bronx to meet Afrika Bambaataa. Now, what you got to know about Tom Silverman, you know what I'm saying? You know, he's a record owner, just like any other record owner. Record company owner, jerk contracts, the whole shit, Tom Silverman. But name me a record label owner who isn't jerking. Can you name one?
I can't.
Nope.
Okay. But anyway, so this is the thing about Tom Silverman, Tommy Boy Records. All right. He goes to meet Bambaataa. And at that point, Tom Silverman is a decent sized player in the club game, but Tommy Boy Records has no certifiable club hits. Okay, he was struggling. Okay, because Salso Records, West End, and Prelude were running the game. Not Tommy Boy. All right, 1982. Of course, Planet Rock drops. Okay, now, it's a key thing, and we know Planet Rock is largely Kraftwerk's record. What's the original Kraftwerk?
Trans-Europe? No, Numbers?
No, Trans-Europe Express.
Trans-Europe Express, okay.
Yes. We know largely that, you know what I'm saying, and shout to, you know, the people and you know, all of that from Kraftwerk. But if there's no Tommy Boy Records, which means if there's no Bambaataa up at the Bronx, Tommy Boy Records don't even get into hip hop. And if you don't have Tommy Boy Records in hip hop, you don't have Capone Noriega, who was actually on Penalty Records, but distributed by Tommy Boy. You don't have De La Soul. You don't have House of Pain. You don't have Digital Underground. You don't have Force MDs. You don't have Naughty by Nature, Stetsasonic, Queen Latifah. And for you dinosaurs out there, no Planet Patrol and no Johnson Crew. Okay, that's Tommy Boy Records after Bambaataa. And that world opens up to him. Other than that, he's trying to compete with D-Train and them niggas downtown.
Damn.
All right. But no Bambaataa. None of that shit. All right. No Bambaataa. Because we know, because we are history guys for the most part, there's no Miami base. Because it was Planet Rock.
Mm.
Who started that genre? And of course, no Miami bass. There's no MC ADE. no Two Live Crew, no DJ Magic Mike, no Gucci Crew, no Jam Pony, none of that shit. All right? Now, Miami, I'm sure, gets into the rap game just like any other city, but no Planet Rock? I don't know. Without Planet Rock, there's no electro funk. And no electro funk, that is the earliest of LA hip hop movements.
Oof. Arabian in them, huh?
Okay, no Dr. Dre. No Egyptian Lover.
Ladies and gentlemen.
No Unknown DJ. No Uncle Jam's Army. None of that shit.
Jam's Army.
Okay. Because of Bambaataa. Now, I'm playing third dimensional chess. I'm doing that hip hop time honored thing, but it's because of Planet Rock, subsequent Planet Patrol records. And I did a good, and I really had to check because I was like, Planet Rock came out in 82. Every artist that I named, especially the Miami artists and the electro funk artist, all those records came out after.
Yep.
Okay, without Bambaataa. And I only say that to say is that, do you, those who want to cancel Bambaataa, just take his posters down. During the 50th anniversary, there was no Bambaataa at parties, none to speak of. He was pretty much erased. There's a vacuum that's going to get filled. Somebody's going to fill it with totally erroneous information. How you gonna fill that vacuum? That's a huge vacuum.
Is it time for me and Kurt to say something? Because I don't want to forget, but go ahead, Kurt, please.
What I got to say is obvious. I mean, obvious to me, should I say. Because we're looking at, you're talking about the vacuum that was created, but honestly, he helped create that vacuum through his actions.
Okay, B, let me...
Killer.
I'm sorry.
Killer.
Okay.
He helped create that vacuum through his actions.
Killer, let this man talk, B.
No. I was just going to say, I got a whole section on his actions.
He helped create that vacuum through the actions, through his own actions, right? And I get that he is pretty much one of those pieces of hip hop that, like you said, there's no this or no that. If he's not there to help start this, to help cultivate this, to help bring this to what it became, the Zulu Nation, be that you just glossed over that, but that saved a lot of niggas' lives.
It did, yeah.
It saved a lot of niggas' lives, the Zulu Nation, be. And unfortunately, because of his actions, Zulu Nation pretty much is done.
It's nigga, true. Yeah.
You can't even fuck but say Zulu Nation. Q-Tip says Zulu Nation so many times on so many different records, B.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how much they rep Zulu Nation.
Yep.
And how much that whole Africa shit from Jungle Brothers named himself after motherfucking Africa. Baby Africa.
Baby Africa, yep.
So I'm just saying, B, his contribution to me is immeasurable. To me, it's immeasurable what he did for hip hop and what he did to make this genre into what we came to love. Of what happened after that, the decline is not his fault, but the fact that he helped bring it up, he should never be erased or never be forgotten for what he did. But because of what the times we live in and because of what have you done lately, mentality of most people, whatever you did last is what is going to be the memory for your rest of your life. You could have done a million and one good things. A million and one saved a billion lives. One bad thing erases all of that shit that you did. All them billion people you saved is forgotten because that one bad action you did, it just fucks it all up.
One person actually defies that logic, but we'll get into that later. Actually, I think maybe a couple of people do, but there's one person in particular that defies that logic.
Well, you can come back, but Swerve, I'm just saying it fucks up your whole legacy.
Swerve, you want to interject before I get into that other part?
Yes, I will agree with everything that you said. His contribution, as Kurt said, is immeasurable. Every piece of what you said, hip hop. It's a difficult thing because we can see through other genres and other areas of life where situations like this have occurred. And once you start talking about the after hip hop part, then I'll just mention Charlie Hustle and this dude who was a biker. There's all kind of situations that are like this, but this one in particular in today's environment hits a little harder because of this list out here in the world. It makes it that much harder. And our show is called the Hip Hop Digest Show, right?
Right.
And that comes from back then. So I don't want to talk too much about the contribution to hip hop that he's done, because that is, you can't argue that part of it. However, now if you're going to start talking about what caused this situation, I'll have more to say about that.
All right. So let's get into this part here. In 2012, Bambaataa began to be dogged by persistent allegations that he had been a serial abuser of young men and boys dating back to the late 70s, with numerous allegations of child sexual abuse and trafficking, suggestions that his behavior that had been a unspoken secret in the rap world for many years. All right. The initial accusation came from a Bronx political activist by the name of Ronald Savage, who claimed Bambaataa had molested him at the age of 15. Savage's accusation led to others coming forward to tell their stories. Although he denounced the claims as baseless, an attempt to ruin his reputation, in 2016 he stepped away from his leadership of the Universal Zulu Nation. Shortly afterwards, the group released an open letter apologizing to Bambaataa's alleged victims. In 2025, he was involved in a civil court case in New York, which he was accused of sexually abusing and trafficking an anonymous male plaintiff over a four-year period beginning in 1991, when the accuser was 12 years old. Bambaataa was in his early 30s. He refused to engage with the court and refused to come before the judge. As a result, the default judgment was handed down in favor of the plaintiff. And that's where we do there. Some of the things that I heard Raheem from the Furious Five say the old, "I was at a Bronx River party, hung around late when they was breaking down the equipment, and I witnessed several men palming the butt and engaging in what he deemed to be just sexual, like gay activity." And he's like, "Oh, damn, bam, gay." No, this is before the child allegations or whatever. And pretty much you got a lot of stories of people coming out and saying, "Yeah, I was at an event with Bam. I didn't notice nothing until my man put me up and was like, 'Yo, do you notice Bam body? He had kids around him, didn't he?'" You know, a lot of innuendo, a lot of things. I'm just like, wow, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that I'm saying Bam didn't do it. I'm not even that callous. I'm saying hip hop history is such, and it's so fragile, that you got to be able to put what he did in and all the things, like Kurt G said, but you can add this. You can add this. There's nothing wrong with adding this. It's on the record. I mean, it's alleged. He's never been convicted, never brought to trial, but you can add this.
I'm sorry, but that's where I have the issue.
Okay.
Because this is me talking. I'm accused of something, and my attorney is like, "Yo, just cop a plea, B." And I know that I didn't do it. I'm never gonna go ahead and say, okay, well, I'm a cop. Never. Especially something at that level. I'm gonna be in court fighting for my name, for my life, not to allow some. Now, after the court case is over and I win, people can say whatever they want, but they're gonna say that I won that case because I'm not going to just say I didn't do it and then not show up or whatever, or go underground hiding or whatever. I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna do that, B. If I did it, I'm gonna admit it and get it done, get it over with, whatever it is. But I'm never, ever, ever, ever gonna say that I did something I didn't do. And that's kind of, it's kind of like a when you don't show up or when you don't fight for yourself, it's kind of, and I'm not, and I know we got Michael Jackson who just paid the dough to get the stuff quiet, but that's, or to keep stuff quiet, but that's a whole different situation. And when I brought up Pete Rose, we had this conversation many times. Pete Rose was an amazing baseball player. But what did he do? He bet on baseball. Whether it was against himself or other teams, whatever, he bet on baseball. And you just can't do that, okay? And then Major League Baseball said, you will never be in the Hall of Fame while you're alive, okay? And I don't have a problem with that. I'm in the same kind of space with Bambaataa. Yes, I can look at all the greatness that he did for hip-hop, right? But the accusations, the alleged stuff is just heinous, B. You just can't overlook or not put the full weight on what that situation was. Go ahead.
So you mentioned the one person who defies gravity. Because Michael Jackson paid hundreds of millions of dollars, okay?
Yep.
So I just find it interesting. That's all. I don't know.
He got canceled too.
I'm not.
He definitely got canceled.
Yeah, but Jackson is dead, and now there's a movie about to drop.
But he's dead.
Oh, that's all about money. He's dead. He won't get to enjoy it.
He's gone. It don't matter. Bambaataa's dead.
And maybe they'll make a movie about him in a few years.
He just died.
But that's what I'm saying. That's where, to me, I thought that this whole internet, you know, this whole shit seems so disingenuous and so contrived, but not really down with the victims.
This whole list is over everybody's head, and what are they doing on that list? What are we being accused of on that list? And then one of ours, who's, like I said, like you said, this has been known or talked about for years. I'm gonna finish in a second, B. They've been talking about this for years. We've talked about it for years. But because Bambaataa hasn't been out DJing, Bambaataa ain't been making records, he kind of got put on the back shelf. And again, like you said, he didn't get no accolades at the 50th anniversary?
I got one question, B.
What is that?
I got one question, which you said is a key to probably what you said. Jackson is a different situation. How is this different?
I only got one thing.
I'm gonna tell you
why it's different. Son.
Okay, please. Explain to me what I'm not seeing.
What you're not seeing is time. Time is the difference. Bambaataa just died. Jackson died. I don't even know how many years ago, but it's probably been over 10 years.
It's been a minute.
He's been gone a while. Jackson's been gone probably closer to 20 years. He's been gone for a minute. Jackson has been gone, and his family in the estate have been working all those years churning to try to turn his image around.
And they have.
And they have successfully did that to the point of now we're celebrating Jackson again.
Yes, we are. Yep.
Movie coming out, and all we're thinking about is the positive shit that he did. But I guarantee you, somebody's going to come up with a documentary right after this movie. If it comes out and it's a number one movie and it goes crazy, they're going to come with a documentary and they're going to try to slander that nigga again.
Oprah already did that, but they just didn't put the shit out. Last minute change of putting it out.
Because the powers that be, and we know how to move behind the curtains, go. Let this get its shine first. Let's make our money off of this. Then we let you go ahead and get in and do what you're going to do. But let's get our money first off this shit.
I guess for me,
But it's time, son.
And I understand that point that the Bambaataa just died, and so everybody's going to rush in to be off that, you know, don't fuck with Bambaataa and you know, run up and continually shoot right. the dead horse. I get that part of it, but to say that legacies don't, or in this case, the times that we live in, human beings are a funny group in that aspect of it, because swerving to this day, one of my life lessons is when the R. Kelly accusations drop, this nigga swerving, he was lights out.
He's done.
Early and often.
Done.
This nigga was lights out.
From the accusations from the beginning.
From the beginning, from Jump Street. My it nigga. Showed, B. But my nigga, when he dropped that Steppin' and that Chocolate Factory shit, and niggas.
People didn't care.
Nigga, they didn't care.
They
ran
rushed,
to the floor.
Ran to the floor.
Did not care.
And in Chicago, they still love him.
And you know what? It, certain people see B to me as, even with Bam and R. Kelly, to me, but I'm not, I'm a different breed. I'm able to separate. If you still love R. Kelly music, I'm not tripping off you loving his music. This R. Kelly, the person that shouldn't be celebrated. His music to me can be celebrated, but the person you can shit on him all day, talk about this nigga, he's a fucking piece of shit. He's the worst human being that ever lived. But if you got a legacy that created art and spawned all these R&B people from Usher to whoever else and made them into, like, damn, R. Kelly is that, he's that nigga. I love that nigga. His music. Anyway, I'd have no problem with that. Even with Bam. If a nigga 10 years from now, I'm going to have to give him some time, B. We have to give him some time. 10 years from now, I'll be like, yo, Bambaataa changed my life, yo. I can't be like, nigga, fuck Bambaataa.
I think one of the things that, and especially, and it's unique to hip hop, is that now we're in the total cancel, fuck Bambaataa, but the vacuum will be filled by somebody, and then you'll have the true school niggas or certain other niggas, oh, the motherfuckers up at Cornell University think they could take our history, as many times as we have walked away from just, again, I think you can do both. I think that you can put down what Bambaataa meant to the culture of hip hop, what he has done. Do your own version of the three-dimensional chess. If it wasn't for Bambaataa, dot, dot, dot. But you could say, but you know what, man? You know, that cat had a fucked up character in a lot of different ways. I mean, and it doesn't even be the people who are. That shit you sent me with that motherfuckers on Instagram with that 24 hours, with that 24 hours of Dr. King, did this last 24 hours, basically just totally. I'm
they,
just like.
They said he shouldn't even been in the hotel, but he was there.
He was there.
He wouldn't be dead if he wasn't at that hotel. He shouldn't even been at that hotel.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean.
The way they're telling the story.
I just.
Right, right. I had just, to see.
Right, and I guess when I look at that whole situation, I'm just like, yo, right now it is a vacuum. It is a huge vacuum.
It is a huge vacuum. It is a very huge vacuum. And like you said, people are going to fill it in with nonsense and shit, then whatever they want to make up to say this, that, and the third. And you say them the foundational niggas. People are going to come in and make up whatever they want to fill in that gap that was created by the Bambaataa removal. But like, as long as people like us are around and people who learn from us and continue in the same path as us are around, that shit can't happen. It can happen, but it's going to be fought against. And somebody's going to say, yo, but man, Bambaataa wasn't shit. He ain't do nothing. He didn't do this, do that. Nah, nigga. That's not true. You're going to have somebody come out and be like, nah, that's not true.
And so what I'll say would really deeply bothers me is that I know most, I can't look into another man's heart, but most of those videos and those viral videos and those fuck Bambaataa videos, it was about fuck Bambaataa. They don't care about none of them victims, none of those men who came forth. They don't care about them, B. They don't give a fuck.
But I don't know that, B. I don't know that.
B, you know what? I'm going to back you 1,000% on this one. Because that's how people are.
That's how the internet is.
B. That's how people are, B. People will support something just because it's viral and either go against it or go with whatever's viral. If it's viral to hate Bambaataa, everybody's going to hate that nigga. Just like it's viral to like Michael Jackson again. Niggas is running to like Michael Jackson again and learn about this nigga and learn about his legacy. People that wasn't even alive when he was around. So it's going to that point. So it's a viral thing and people going to move wherever they're sheep be. And they're being herded in whatever direction they're going to go in that direction. That's most people.
I saw about three or four those Instagram joints where they show KRS-One took a lot of incoming fire this week. Where they're talking, they show KRS-One
is a Bronx nigga.
Okay, but check it out. He's doing this. He's talking about Bambaataa and what Bambaataa did, this, that, and the third, putting the facts out there. And then in the second half of the clip, did you know KRS-One had a record called 13 and Good?
Totally out of context.
Oh my God.
That's why I sent you that. That was that girl in that video.
Yeah, but there's other ones out there just like that. There's other ones out there just like that. Everybody jumping on the 13 is Good record from KRS-One. Oh, no wonder KRS-One got fucked with Bambaataa. He got
they
this
need to
record
to the
out.
Record first. They should go back and listen to the record. Then they can maybe understand. Now, that's just stupid.
I'm just saying, right?
But it's not about that. It's all about clips.
Exactly.
It's all about clips.
I tell you that every week. It's clicks and likes, B.
And that's what it's about.
So,
But I heard Killer say something about the victims. There's one in particular that made a freaking cottage industry out of getting on
he did.
YouTube and talking
about There is,
about
yeah, no
I'm
doubt.
Not saying his name. Everybody knows who he is. I feel for him if that happened to him, but the way he is going about it, and maybe he just needs help. Maybe he just needs real help to get through whatever he's got in his head, right? But the other cat I saw, the one that you mentioned, that
Ronald Savage. One, yes.
Yo, his story is crazy, B.
It is.
Like, he tells his story, so it's hard to be like, yo, he lying. I would be less than who I am if I would just be like, yeah, he lying. Because I wasn't there, but his story is so compelling that it's like, damn. And then these other things, you know, even in the vitriol, you hear things. And then when I hear those rambunctious posts, I'm like, well, why now? Why weren't you saying that before? Why are you...
Thank you, sir.
Go ahead, B.
No, I don't have anything
to
say.
To hate that nigga right now.
It's okay to hate him now.
Right. I'm raising my hands as a thank you because you just hit on the thing that bothers me. It's like, why now? The horse is dead. The horse is dead. I'm going to go out to the field and shoot the corpse.
Yeah. So that part is it's disingenuous, in my opinion. You could be mad. Yes, you could be mad, but you mad all of a sudden? Now, let me also say this too, though. For us, we had the benefit of a couple of weeks. We had the benefit.
Yes.
Because it happened the night after the same night that we were recording, it happened after we were done,
right.
In
right.
bed, right? Had we recorded that next day, we might not be saying what we're saying. We might be saying some other stuff, and let's just be honest about it. Because in the moment,
right.
That's, it's like, damn.
That's why I started the show. Like
opportunity
right.
to stand back from it, and as you always say, separate the wheat from the chaff. We cannot, just as we cannot take away O.J. Simpson's greatness in the Buffalo Bills, we can't take away Pete Rose's greatness in baseball. Now, we can take away that dude that was in that Tour de France or whatever, that bike riding dude, because he flat out lied and got caught. Because there was so much sympathy for him.
I guess the point overall is that it's interesting just from a human nature standpoint. And this goes beyond Bambaataa about how some people legacies, Michael Jackson being one of them, is redeemable. I mean, I've seen no less than Michael Jackson, people breaking down albums, you know, just breaking down albums, breaking down everything about Jackson in the studio at Westlake in L.A. and him and Quincy and this, that, and the
on
third.
The island?
Not B, no, not a mention of none of the victims of what he did and this, that, and the third, because his... Whether if it, it would be
that it, might not be true, B.
Like, no, put like this. No. It's happening, but because the machine, my nigga, is in this direction of making this money off of Michael Jackson, it is not in their best interest to have any of that shit come out and overshadow this money making move that's happening right now.
So let me give you my last example of a person who lost everything, and he's also dead, and he didn't do anything, but he probably knew something.
Uh-oh.
And the best example that I can think of on the redeemable side was Michael. On the other side of that was Joe Paterno.
Oh, wow.
Jerry Sandusky, who was a linebacker's coach, was running a whole situation at Penn State with young boys and was molesting young kids for 25, 30 years. All right?
Joe
Paterno took Joe Paterno
destroyed his legacy.
Now, if you know about college football, you know about Joe Pa, you know about Penn State.
State College?
from the area that we're from, yes. Yeah. That fucking Nittany Lion hot dogs, my nigga. They was the it.
They took the statue down. They took
his records.
They did every administrator who was with fired. Motherfuckers went to jail. I mean, there's no mention of Joe Paterno ever.
Damn, that's crazy because I had forgotten his name, B.
Yeah, there you go. So
that's crazy.
So here we are. To me, I just think that Bam Bada, where he fits on that spectrum, who knows? And like what Kurt G was saying, in time, who knows? And where he spits on the redeemable spectrum, I don't know. But I know Michael Jackson is redeemed, and there's plenty of videos out there. You can say he ain't, but
no, I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying it's there are still people that do not like Michael Jackson. Will never like him.
That's fine, and I understand.
But he's
that.
A money pit. He's still a money pit to the industry.
Oh, indeed, he is.
And that's what this is all about. This is what this.
That's what I'm saying.
And see, to me, Africa Bambaataa is going to fall on the other side of that legacy because Africa Bambaataa was never a money pit. He may have helped create and started the foundation for a money pit called hip hop, but he did. He never was the billionaire, i.e., Hove, Jay-Z type that became that rich off of the backs of what Bambaataa built. And that's Hove.
So
he's never been that person, so nobody's going to ever look at him in anything else but the last act that was in his life, which was what? This accusations, all this shit before he died, if that's all that people are going to remember.
But it doesn't help that he went into become a recluse. It doesn't help.
It does not help, but I was getting ready to finish. Michael Jackson was a star, a superstar, a mega superstar at one point in his life while he was alive. You couldn't, nigga couldn't even peek out his window without niggas wanting to snap a picture of him. So he was that fucking huge in life. So he died, the accusations were still there, and these niggas spent the fucking all this time scrubbing the internet, cleaning his image up. As much as they could clean it up so they could put this money
at the end of the day, that's the spectrum. There's the Michael Jackson on one end of the spectrum, and maybe it's because of money and maybe a lot of other factors. I'm not discounting that. Okay. And then on the other end of the spectrum, I'm just saying Joe Paterno, because his shit at Penn State is totally erased. You know what I'm saying? And these people, I don't give a fuck who it is, R. Kelly's, the Pete Rose's, and any other examples that we use, they fit somewhere on that spectrum. You know what I mean? Does one day Pete Rose get into the hall?
He does.
He did. He did. He just did.
Oh, he just did. Okay.
After his death, which I said was going to happen.
So there you go. So his situation was redeemable.
His situation was, to me, his situation was redeemable while he was alive, if you ask me.
Okay.
But he wasn't accused of having sex with little boys.
Exactly. No. That's where I was going to go with this. His accusations was gambling, and now gambling is fucking just commonplace on your phone.
That's true.
To gamble on shit.
That's true. The point I'm saying is that there is a spectrum. I'm just saying that, and people are going to fall on that non-redeemable or redeemable. Again, R. Kelly could get out. Where he falls on that spectrum, who knows? You know what I'm saying? If he gets out, he probably won't. But if he does, where does he fall on the spectrum? Who knows? We know currently,
now. R. Kelly probably get more redeemable after his death than he is now.
Wow.
Than he is
now. Well, let me also just tell you this, Koga. I want to throw this in here for the historical point. Michael Jackson died preparing for a world tour called This Is It. So there were fans all over the world getting ready to pay to see Michael Jackson perform while he was alive.
True.
Not just this movie.
To me, the circumstances of redeemability and how it becomes, it's still a spectrum. You know what I mean?
Yes, it is.
It's still a spectrum.
And you mentioned the one side and the other side. Yeah, yes.
People are going to fit it certainly. In 5 years, I'm curious to know where Bambaataa fits in that spectrum. Right now,
it's going to be tough, B.
He's a dead horse.
It's going to probably be that way for a long time because of the, I'm going to say, allegations.
Oh, indeed. All right.
It's because of that. And I mentioned this a couple times already, but because of the state that we are in now in this country and the world about that list and what was occurring on that list, it's and I'm not saying us. I'm just saying general public.
I got you. Yeah,
that is heavy. Not just the white community. Every community.
Yeah, it's heavy. Yeah,
and Bambaataa being accused and having those allegations, that's gonna be hard to watch. It's like you put the you take a hammer and a nail. You take that hammer and you nail that nail into the fence. You pull the nail out, but the hole is still there. And we're going to have to deal with that for a long time.
And like you said, because of the state of where we are right now, the list exists.
Mm-hmm,
and people on that list is fighting tooth and nail to keep the nail in the fence.
Yes,
you know
yes
what I mean?
They are.
So all I get you. All right. So I think we exercised pretty good balance. I hope we did. You know what I mean? on this.
We started out, to me, we started this thing out right in the right way. You started out giving the story and the history and laid it out to what it was.
Right.
And then went into what it became. And then we went into what it's going to be, maybe.
Maybe. Right.
Yep.
I really wanted it to be balanced. I didn't want to be those other virals, you know what I'm saying? Yo, we're gonna shoot the dead horse. You know what I mean? That type
of
shit.
I'll just say this on the way out of this topic. I don't foresee us seeing him going to, or is he already, he's not a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, is he?
Nah, he ain't. That's finished. If he would have been.
I don't know if they were already in there or not.
Nah, he's not.
But
he's not.
Not Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but they probably will be in the Rocky Buchanan.
Well, like I said, I wonder now.
That's not a Hall of Fame. That's a hip-hop museum.
But that's what I'm saying.
But he's still probably, he probably still will be.
And I said that. What does Rocky do and what does Cornell University do?
Cornell University probably puts it in the basement and leaves it.
You think?
Because they're going to leave it down there until maybe 10 years passes. You got time. You got to give time. When niggas ain't going to go there and destroy the exhibit and spray paint it up, fuck it up. You know what I'm saying?
You're
they don't
right.
need that right
yep.
now.
Mm. Yep,
so they're going to keep it down here till it's maybe clean. It's safe to put this shit
R.
out.
R. Kelly,
right now.
Keep it on a down low. Oh. All that shit. Those songs told you R. Kelly was a fucking pervert. But anyway, I digress. Let's go.
Well, we know where he's on your spectrum.
he's never going to get off that side of the spectrum.
I met Aaliyah. She didn't deserve that shit.
Oh, nigga, let me tell you something. Like I said, this nigga, from day one.
And fuck was this nigga
and was incredulous when that motherfucker
all that
started
grown
stepping.
Tail he could have been getting you. Come on, B. Don't
they was throwing it at you.
All right,
let's
move on. All right, so let's move on. So as we get out of this, I want to give a shout out to a special group of guys for one record.
Okay.
All right, and you guys, as scholars as you are, you don't know who they are. You know their record. You know the record well, but you never really got into who made the record.
Okay. In my LL voice, come on, man.
I want to give a shout out to the Wilderson Dodgers. Yes.
Crickets.
And the reason why I'm giving the shout out to the Wilderson Dodgers, and let me read the bio for them too. All right. The Wilderson Dodgers was an in-house production team at Battery Studios in London for Jive Records. The core members were Pete Q. Harris, Nigel Green, and Richard John Smith. And the record that they made, as we were talking about Bambada, was the cover of Planet Rock called Jive Rhythm Tracks. Oh. Side A, track 3, 122 beats per minute. That's the actual name of the record, 122 beats per minute.
Wow.
But it was on a series of what they were called Jive Rhythm Tracks. Jive Records put these rhythm tracks out, and they mimicked the beat of current records of the day. Mm. How did they know when they covered Planet Rock that that would be an all-time banger?
The whole world knew. Point blank.
So anyway, yes, again, it is the seminal electro-funk track instrumental by the Wilderson Dodgers. Again, essentially just a Planet Rock cover, all right? But we all called it Jive Rhythm Tracks, but the name of the track is 122 BPMs, all right? So, and quickly, I'm going to give a shout-out to them because they're at Battery Studios in London, sitting up in there, probably up under a fat SSL too. But they use
SSL is a mixing board, by the way.
And they were and their gear consisted of the Lindrum released by Linen Electronics. Battery Studios had their own Fairlight CMI. I know, right? 808 Roland 808 and a Roland Jupiter 8 and the Juno 106. That was their gear list.
House music, Juno.
Yeah, I know, right? So, but that was their gear list. And I just wanted to give a shout out to the Wilderson Dodgers because I know somewhere those brothers is probably like, dang, yo, man, Bada's fucked up in the game. But we created 122 beats per minute, also known as Jive Rhythm Tracks, and people still gonna play that.
Yep, because they don't know.
You just that made me think about something. Shout out to Hidden Beach Recordings too.
Oh, another one.
Hidden Beach. Another they group put out of folks. Some joints. Mm,
indeed. All right. So that takes care of at least the heaviness of the show. I don't know. Swerve act like he got some heavy things he wanna talk about.
Lord. Well, you know, this whole Pete Rock issue versus the foundation of black folks and all of that is so let me just go back. Last show, before we got on the show, we were talking about certain things in our community that get me wrecked sometimes, and it's hard to not get wrecked seeing what I see. And it boils down to not crabs in a barrel, because it ain't even about that. It's just like always battling against ourselves in hip hop, in the community, wherever. And it's just like, where it's like, I'm tired of all of that, yo. Like, what do you guys think this stems from? And I'm not talking about beef records or battle records. I'm talking about legit tearing each other down, whether it's hip hop or our community. It's so city to city. It's crazy.
From my standpoint, and I'm going to talk about the Pete Rock foundational niggas. Tariq Nasheed is a grifter.
Damn.
I don't fuck with Tariq Nasheed because I think he a grifter. And I think no matter what issues he may have with the historical record of hip hop and who did what and who this, that, and the third or whatever, everything Tariq Nasheed does is based on the idea of, if you weren't here and a descendant of slavery, you're being othered by him. Lord Jamal, any of them niggas who down with that shit, you're othering. I'm just speaking about him. from one point of, like you said, where does that come from? Well, you got Tariq Nasheed, in my personal opinion, just basically othering niggas. You know what I mean? You know? Oh, Kurt G, you know, got a wife, Caribbean ancestry. You know what I'm saying? The food they cook over there is fantastic. But I'm just showing up on the scene. Well, you know, they ain't really from slavery.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm blowing the spot up, right? And
macaroni cheese ain't authentic.
Oh, my goodness. And then want to step back when they want to kick me out the house. See, this is what I'm talking about. See,
your boy has built quite a following, B. It is not a small following by any stretch.
And there's no doubt about it, but the roots of that come from trying to synthesize and equalize this sort of, to get Republican white folk to realize that we're from the soil and that the others, Caribbean, Spanish, you know what I'm saying, intercontinental motherfuckers is others. And we could get rid of the others, you know what I mean? I'm just saying.
To me, B.
That's just one point of how I think where we are currently.
Okay, so for me, I think it goes down. I don't even want to go down that rabbit hole. It goes.
Don't get scared now.
I ain't scared. You know me. I ain't scared. It's just that the fact that it just goes deeper than that, B. It's the fact that niggas devalue each other from the beginning. We've been conditioned to devalue each other and to think less of each other.
So think about what you just said. Think about, let's say it's from the jump and that we devalue each other. That's probably, and again, then you got a guy like Mr. Nasheed who sees that. And it's like, oh, I'm going to grift on that. I see the fissure. I see the, you know, maybe back in the days, light skin versus dark skin niggas. I'm going to exploit. So, you know, that's just me. I think Pete Rock and Busta Rhymes and Fat Joe and everybody else, he reacts emotionally because he's just on them from heritage. Not what they did in hip hop, fantastic beats, MCing, DITC, yep. None of that shit. It's all on heritage. And you're right. He has built up quite a following. That motherfucker is a grifter like a motherfucker. And I ain't fucking with him. And he's exploiting the very old wounds that we are still recovering from.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That is very true. And it's very, and to me, it's low-hanging fruit.
Low-hanging
fruit. It's easy to attach yourself to that and make a divide between people because it's like it's already there. The divide is already there. So it's not like you're creating a divide. Divide is already there. You're just jumping on one side or the other. And at its basic root, for human beings, period, everybody wants to be right. But everybody wants to be on the side of right, not on the side of wrong. So once you latch on to something, you want that side to be right. So you're going to fight hard. No matter how wrong you may seem to the other side, you seem just as wrong to them. So we're just going to keep coming at each other like this. And it makes no sense because all of us have something to contribute. And we all have contributed something to this fucking genre.
Yes.
That made it what it is. It wouldn't be what it is if it was just one way and just one group of people made
it.
It would not have become exactly what it became. So to try to make it just that one group started this shit, one group made this shit, and if without them, none of this shit would be happening. True. But without them, none of this shit would be happening either. So it's a collection, but to try to make yourself so right and to be on the side of right, you got to keep arguing this shit and bring in as many people as you can to make your side. Because you're the loudest and the biggest group don't make you fucking right.
Yeah,
this makes correct. You loud and big. Yeah. That's all it does.
Well, let me turn it strictly into hip-hop for a minute because that outside stuff is like, it goes back to segregation, desegregation to me. But we'll go to hip-hop now before more people tune out. I look at it like, I just wish all these people that consider themselves bosses and I'm a label owner and all this could just come together and create a, I don't want to say a black universal, but universal is the fucking umbrella of almost every fucking thing. But instead of just peace working and going against each other, why it's like at this point in 2026, we can't find a way to build something in hip hop that benefits the people who are hip hop.
I
want to know what I'm saying.
I want to
remind
you.
I don't care what color you are.
No,
I don't care.
I want to remind you.
Uh-oh.
I want to remind you of a show we done long time ago.
Oh, man, you're going in the archives.
long time ago. And I said, and I don't have all the names, but I said, why can't Russell Simmons, Sean Combs, Suge Knight, Jay Prince, Tony Draper, Jermaine Dupri, and others, and I'm sure it was another four or five label owners, say, fuck Universal, fuck Sony, we run this, because without us, there's no music industry. And
you hear how simple that sounds?
And Kurt G, it
is simple.
And Kurt G gave the explanation of why, because he shut me down. Kurt G shut me down. What the fuck you talking? Kurt G shut me down.
I was about to shut you down again.
Okay.
But go ahead and say, remind me of my answer back then. What did I say? Remind me of my answer. So I want to say if I'm going to say the same thing again. Go ahead and say it, B.
Nah, Kurt G shut me down because Kurt G was like, the problem with them niggas and all the niggas you name is that all of them egos is so big and it's one person is going to want to run it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I never forget
gonna,
that
who's
show.
Gonna to,
who's going to run it?
Who's going to put their name at the top of this list?
Yep.
Who wants to be the head of this list? Who's going to run this? It can't be Suge Knight, Tony Draper, and this, and this. It's got to be nigga. It's got to be me. I created this shit, and you niggas is my lieutenants.
Exactly. Oh, Master P was in that list, too. You know, I was naming all these black label owners. And Kurt G shut me down. He was like, these motherfuckers, first of all, they greedy and somebody is going to have to run it. And who out of them is going to want to step down? Who's going to want to step down to Russell? Who's going to step down to Suge or Jay Prince, you know, or any of these niggas?
That is absolutely a factor. I agree 100% with that. But let's go way down to where we reside.
Okay.
The Hip Hop Digest Show. There's three of us. Mm-hmm. We run this, right?
Right.
Whenever there's a something in question, it comes down to a vote, an equal vote from the three of us. And the one person that would be the loser in that vote, we live. We move on. We keep doing the Hip Hop Digest Show. It's not, and again, I know we're way down here with it, but the same literally could be done. Everybody have an equal vote.
It could be, but you're talking about men, and you're talking about egos, and you're talking about pride, and you're talking about a whole lot of fucking money.
So you
put all that together, and niggas that already got a name for themselves, have already made platinum records, have already got all these accolades, and trying to make somebody say, my vote counts more than your vote, nigga. Fuck you, Jermaine Dupri. Your vote don't count as much as my vote. Suge Knight vote count 10 times more than your vote, nigga. How you gonna get a vote in here and tell me you gonna agree with me? So that ego shit, it will fuck everything up.
It's very disappointing that we are still at this time. At this time, this year, this moment, that we don't have nothing that we can call our own. And if we do get something that we call our own, BET, it gets sold.
But that's the name of the game. And do you own it, you build it up, and you sell it before they take it from you. That's the way the game goes.
Yeah, we're seeing that with, I haven't heard anything any recently about people selling their libraries or whatever, but that was a serious run for a minute there, wasn't it?
And now you're starting to see why. You starting to see, B. I done seen a lot of the look behind the curtain a whole lot on this shit. You starting to see why. Because they knew this AI shit was coming. I bought your catalog to feed this motherfucker. I'm feeding the beast. I bought your catalog to feed the beast. I'm going to feed the beast with your shit.
Yeah, I'm sure they saw it coming way before the GP.
So for me, I got to say, I'm talking about hip hop. I tend to continue to see in hip hop, as much as we don't, because, you know, there is a lot of I'm tired of rap music thing going on out there. And that's fine because that's all sort of commercialized rap music anyway. There's still commercial. Look, at the end of the day, where people are and where the actual real community lives, it lives still just kind of like it was in the early days, but not exactly, because it was only us going to record stores and picking up the early Def Jams, the Burgundy Def Jams and the Four from Broadway records and things of that nature. To me, like, so when a guy comes out and he puts his record out on Bandcamp, and if he's lucky enough to get, you know, 100 records pressed and people buy them and he makes a little bit of money, that's in the same spirit. That's in the same vein. The AI will squeeze every last Travis Scott nigga out of the way. Get out of the way. You know what I'm saying? All of them niggas are going to get pushed to the side. But what will remain in hip hop, what will remain is just the motherfucker who goes out and spends $400 on that new little battery-operated MPC and just makes joints. I mean, people, I think generally, and this is the media space, you know, it's one of the things about Hove that I didn't really fuck with in that interview, and I want to clarify that. Hove in that interview was like, you know, I kind of regret that, you know, that thing that he was in with Nas and the battle or whatever. And again, social media. So somebody took the clips, and it was a whole bunch of clips of different battles from that 90s. And you could hear it in their voice. You could hear Freeway. You could hear Beans. You could hear Jadakiss, Hove, Nas. I mean, people on their team up at the radio station week in and week out. You can hear it was coming out of them, you know, because it was the battle. It was hip hop. Now, here we are. Kendrick and your boy, the Canadian. These mofos.
Can't even say his name.
These mofos, even Hove, is like, God damn it. If his next record comes out and it don't blow, the kingdom could fall. Hove is thinking that. That's why he said, oh, damn, I kind of regret that now. I wish it didn't have to happen now.
So what you're saying is you think that because hip-hop is in a fragile state right now, not hip-hop, let me stop that.
Commercial
rap is in a fragile state, and it's almost to the point of being flushed down the toilet. They now starting to regret shooting the cow that fed everybody.
Yeah, but they, at the time that these things were happening, they weren't shooting the cow. It was a natural cleansing.
It started as a natural thing. But what happened is it went viral, which is what happens with most things. When it goes viral, it goes overboard and goes too damn far. It starts doing too much.
B, it's too many people who are involved, I think, in hip hop who don't belong here.
And that's what the battle brought in.
And that's what to a certain extent. So when Hove is at that interview and he's talking about, I regret. Nobody from those days spitting hard white battle lyrics up at Hot 97 every other week is around him. Nobody.
Well, appreciate you getting in another shot.
No,
the corporate. You got him again.
The corporate is, but the corporate is who he is. Like I said, he needs to be at earnings meetings and shit. You know what I'm saying? But to see him, talk about, he may have a personal regret about saying the things he said, but he. You mean to tell me you can't say, yeah, but it was a different time and what we was doing was so organic in hip hop and was so natural. And to hear Beanie Siegel and all these niggas talk about that shit. Yo, I mean, these kids today.
B, did you old ass? I know old ass nigga. Yeah. But what happened? Let me tell you what happened.
Hold on. Let me get my cane and my insure out. These kids today?
Said an issue.
Yeah,
nigga.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't forget your Depends, my nigga.
Hey, B.
Lord.
I'm serious, y'all. I got my diabetic shoes on, a cane. I got the whole insurer. I'm ready. These kids today? I'm dead ass. But I'm just saying, but who gets faded? The Drakes of the world, the Travis Scotts of the world, all these type of niggas, these niggas get faded.
Pete, but see, here's the issue.
Does the Bandcamp nigga get faded?
No. The Bandcamp nigga not going to get faded because the Bandcamp nigga is on Bandcamp, first of all. He's not on Universal. Nope. Not yet. Universal hasn't bought Bandcamp yet.
But, no doubt.
Them units.
Right. So, but the problem is what had happened was on the way to the battle that just happened recently in the last few years, what had happened is it started out organic because it was built up over years. This wasn't some shit that started right there that day and it just kicked. This was some subliminal shots from both sides over the years happening, and it got to that point. And that was all natural. That's the way it happens. Boom, the shit happened. He put out record. Boom. Everybody should have moved on by now. Everybody should have went out. But what had happened was the shit went viral. And somebody got in their feelings. And then they started suing.
Tried to sue.
Then they started suing and going too far. As viral shit does. They start going too far and doing too much shit. And then made an epic fail out of the shit. And now you look like shit with egg on your face. And half the people that would have liked you, the next generation, don't fuck with you because of not like us. Because now you're not like us. You're one of them. That whole title of that song just fucks this nigga up. You not like us, nigga. You one of them niggas. So
just
and you
play that shit on the NBA.
Universal. Yeah, I know. Universal Music is getting paid off of everyone. The whole fucking boot kit and caboodle off of Kendrick and Drake. They're eating off of this shit. I got one thing. They're not losing in this situation.
I got one thing, B. What we ought to do is cleanse ourselves.
We've already cleansed ourselves.
What we ought to do is cleanse ourselves. What we ought to do, what we ought to do is listen to The Break of Dawn by LL Cool J.
Wow.
And listen to him, and listen to him, this Kumo D. Listen to him each verse. The first verse, he disses Kumo D. The second verse, he disses MC Hammer. And the third verse, he disses Ice-T. Let's go and cleanse ourselves and listen to LL Cool J to the Break of Dawn so we can sort of understand here what is hip-hop. What is in the battle? What is in the essence?
Yeah, it's in the essence. And that's what Jay-Z did when he could put out Takeover.
Yeah, he did.
He in the first verse, he dissed Mobb Deep.
Yep.
In the second verse, he dissed Nas.
Yep. Yeah, he was in the essence.
He was in the essence, but he thought he could take out Nas in one verse, and he bit off more than he could chew.
Well, yeah, he did, obviously. But you know what? But again, but like I said, it's shot, Brooklyn, QB, you got that whole shit. B, we should cleanse ourselves. And it is, and understand that is people not like us. Pun intended.
Well, let's bookmark that and leave that there because okay. I got two more topics.
All right, yeah, let's hit it and quit it.
All right, so this is not a rhetorical question.
Oh shit,
this is a real question. Is hip hop responsible for stripper culture?
You're talking about
the way hip-hop? Our young ladies carry themselves in the regular day by day, looking like they're in the strip club, but regular day by day.
So we're gonna keep it all the way funky.
Okay.
Okay. I got you.
If we're gonna keep it all the way funky, I'm gonna say yes. And it wasn't even the women that did it; it was the men.
Oh,
You say keep it all the way funky. I'm gonna keep it all. It ain't the Cardi B's. It ain't the Lil Kim's. It ain't the Foxy Brown's. Even though they did a lot to contribute to this shit. But it was the men, my nigga.
Okay.
It was the men that fucked this up.
Okay. All right.
And I'm gonna tell you how we fucked this up.
Okay.
And why the psychology.
Ice Cube, we're gonna tear this motherfucker up.
We created the environment for this shit to exist.
All right.
As men. Because the shit that Cardi and them do now, and the shit that the Gold Glorillas and all of them, and the shit that Lil' Kim and Foxy and Charlie Baltimore and whoever else was during that time was talking, the My Neck, My Back chick, all of that shit, it was before them.
Oh, I'm going to put a hurting on you, son.
It was before them. It was the men that fucked this up, and we gave them the mentality to do this. Because this is what happened, Bean.
Okay.
When we was out here talking about, hey, we want some pussy.
Okay.
We was loving Two Live Crew.
All right. Me and the pool
Two Live Crew. Move something, bitch. We was loving Two Live Crew.
Me and the pool pit.
We was loving it. All that shit. Them Luke dancers on that stage created an image. They created an image for them to look at this is what they like.
He's preaching.
This is what the men want you to look like that.
He preaching.
Now the Luke club, the Luke dancers is rapping.
Okay.
And doing what they do. Creating a whole other situation that went on.
No.
But I'm saying be the men from the mentality and the way we talked about women and the way the visuals that we put on stage with the women with no clothes on.
Well, see album covers.
Walking around with the album covers.
See Dolores Tucker.
And the way they was looking. And
Calvin
the way we
butts.
The foundation that we made men. We made a foundation for them to look at.
We go steamroll.
And that's what happened, B. We gave them something to look at, and we said this is the image that men like for women. Mm-hmm. The men might have on Tim's and fucking Carhartt and looking with jeans, big baggy ass jeans on.
Jack Thompson.
But the women on the stage that's walking around is barely dressed.
The parental advisory sticker.
Barely fucking dressed with anything on.
Okay.
And that's the image that we gave them. And the women now took that image and ran with it and stayed with that image. They didn't want to
embrace it.
And embrace that image.
Can't wait to start region repping. So my man is preaching. My man is preaching, right? And so I'm a region rep.
Uh-oh.
I'm region repping. All right. Because like I said, let's take the historical record. Thank you, Curtis. Okay. Maybe it starts in Atlanta. It's hot down. I mean, not Atlanta. Well, they got
Miami.
Maybe it starts in Miami. It's hot down there. I get it. Yeah, it's Miami. Miami base. Maybe
we
so.
We love that Two Live Crew.
Yeah. A lot of asses on the cover. No doubt about it. Generally, I'm blaming the South. Generally, more Atlanta than Luke and them. But because Luke and them, that was models for album covers. They were not on the mic. They let the mic to the niggas, and they was just models.
But they were the image that they took.
No doubt, I'm not denying that. But I'm saying more. It was again Atlanta style strip culture from, let's say, maybe Freaknik style of type of events. Those who were there said, "Hey, the Freaknik was glorious." All right, but still, I remember y'all niggas was like, "Yo, your man Offset wildin' when he told some up and coming rapper that she needed to get butt implants and boobs."
He was wildin'.
All right,
he's still wildin'.
All right, and he's still wildin'. But I'm just saying. So you want to say again? How do now our girls are young women who walk around the streets and the airports at the gas station and the bank, you know, with everything out, you know what I'm saying? No modesty, no none of that. Well, B, it is, it, you can, we can trace that somewhat, I still say, to the South, specifically more Atlanta culture. But again, it's somebody put the girls on stage. Somebody, you know, was like, Kim, take your clothes off here. You're trying to sell units. You know what I mean?
That.
You know what I'm saying?
Take that
off.
You know? Shoot, you know, who knows? I mean, and like I said, there's a lot of different things. I think there's a difference. I think there's a difference when you have asses on the cover, i.e. Luke, or maybe even Game Records. None of those, they were all models. No, they weren't MCs. I think there's a huge difference when you put the when you put women and then you strip them of their clothes and their progeny in front, then it becomes idol worship. Ohio Players had nude boobs and shit.
Oh man, okay, the album covers,
but
sticky.
But they were album covers. They were album covers. So to me, yeah. I think that's a line.
But B, you, but you're discounting is the image.
B,
you're giving people something to look at.
B, and there's like not until they got on the mic with the image.
But we gave them the image and what to talk about. It's just that they talked about it from a female perspective instead of a male perspective.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not denying that. But what I'm saying is that, in my opinion, what you got now
Akinelli, put it in your mouth, my ooh, nigga.
Yeah, but man, there's no broad on the cover.
But it was probably broads in the fucking, I'm calling them broads now, on the stage with this nigga that was half undressed. When this talking nigga's talking about put it in your mouth.
They're still modeling.
It doesn't matter, B. I'm talking about the image that you're giving,
B.
This is the, so this, when women rap, when women are on stage with men, this is how they're supposed to look. So you know what?
No.
Fuck that. I'm going to look like
not
that.
Not true.
So the men can look at me
that's
and want my shit.
That's not true because to me, and I think you need to do a little bit more study, my brother, you look at the dividing line of the culture until the women are on the mic. Now, I'm not saying a dude ain't responsible for telling her to take her clothes off and she did it. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying once they're on the mic, and then at that point, you're right. You know, they can talk about it from a woman's perspective and talk about breaking niggas' pockets and shit. Okay, yeah, that's fine. I get it. But when they were models on album covers, you didn't have what you have now. That's
James,
my only point.
Don't say it.
Oh,
Don't say it, James.
That's what you
sound like right now, B. That, you're saying when they got on the mic, as if lead them bitches off the mic. Don't let
I
them
didn't say
shit,
that.
But it's what it sounded like.
I didn't say that.
Got, I don't think it sounded like that to me, Kurt. Maybe that's how you took it. I
mean. But you said until they got on the mic, it didn't. None of this shit was a problem until they got on the mic.
Me, but
them being half.
Wait. Let me throw this in there.
As long as they was half dressed without saying anything, it was cool. As long as they was dressed like bra and panty, it was cool. But as soon as they started talking and still being dressed like bra and panty, it's a problem. The problem started when you gave him the image to look at. It should have never been up on the stage if
so
you really want
to
go there.
This is your fault, Killer, because you told that man to go study him. He's well studied. But seriously, though, let me just put this in there to just try to veer off of that a little bit because you both are right. But let me throw it off a little bit to something different. So you got the female rappers, the Little Kims, the Gretas, and them back there with the squats and all that, right? Did our young ladies dress like that and act like that in the streets?
That was the beginning. I'm trying to tell you, B, there's a mark, there's a demarcation line, okay? And the demarcation line is...
I'm not like this. I think I'm getting put in the other category. I'm not arguing with you on that point. I'm just saying all I'm doing is creating the foundation, as we talk about foundational.
Okay.
I'm creating the foundation for this shit.
Then listen, Lishi.
Okay.
Right, I'm creating...
okay,
I'm creating the foundation for this shit, and now you're going to take the foundation, and you can go from there where you want to.
All right,
I'm
then,
just saying where it started
okay,
at.
Okay, then I'm going to do foundational then. Then fuck it. Let's do foundational.
Okay,
all right? You mean to tell me every issue of Jet Magazine with the Jet Beauty in the Week had our women wildin'? B, don't come at me with this because shit.
I'm talking about hip hop, nigga. Not no fucking other shit. We're talking hip hop, period.
I'm talking about nude, not nude. I'm talking about scantily clad.
The topic is culturally.
Right. I'm talking about African American women in bathing suits week in and week in. They ain't had no niggas in bathing suits.
You better not. Jet would have folded.
Because men created this image, as you said, put them in that shit for them to look at, to make them eye candy.
The point is, whether you want to say it was Puff or Big or anybody, but the point is, when you got women who projected, I'm paid, and the other women rappers who keep their clothes on are broke. That is a line, and that shifts in the culture, okay? And especially for our young women, point blank.
There you go. Yeah,
I believe that.
I'm not arguing with that point. My point was, I didn't start as a whole culture. I'm talking about hip hop culture only. When you said culture, I'm thinking hip hop culture. I'm not thinking the black culture.
Okay, that's
why I was arguing. My point came from hip hop culture.
Queen Latifah.
That's why I started with that.
From Salt and Pepper to Queen Latifah, MC Light, and anybody else that you can think of, female, Bahamadia, you know what I'm saying? It's Sweet Tea, and anybody that you can think of in the era of when they showed up and looked like either regular, nice looking young ladies or B girls or otherwise, was our culture, and did our young women, other than wearing gigantic bangle earrings and shit like that, what was the culture? B, Kim and Greta is the dividing line. That's where it started. Now, you can say it was Puffy or Biggie or Hove or any of them niggas, and I won't argue with you. But what I'm saying is that now you have, does a woman come out and MC on a major label with her clothes on? None. No. Zero. So every young girl and everybody, and even if it's tons of girls out on the street, B, that's the equivalent of us fucking wearing Carhartt and Tim's.
You're right, B.
That's the fucking equivalent.
I'm not arguing with you, my nigga. I'm not arguing with you. You hear me arguing with you? I said I started a foundation. You said I'm going where it started from. How it got built up to where it is now.
I did
and
that so Tariq Nasheed, that's all. I was just off that Tariq Nasheed.
I'm not arguing with you, nigga. Everything you're saying is 100,000% correct. I'm just saying where I think it started at was from the beginning.
Okay.
Where men created an image for them to look at, and at some point in time, during the timeline, they not only wanted to be on stage modeling, they wanted to get the mic and rap. And maybe I could do this on my own. Fuck walking behind these niggas. I can walk in front of these niggas and put them behind me.
Dang, shout to Bob Guccione and them niggas.
Damn. Well, I don't know if I know we are not able to come up with an answer for that, but as we walk these streets, as we go into grocery stores, as we go into shopping center, whatever, this is what our culture has become. It's stripper culture.
And that's what it is.
You're 100% right.
And I'm sure that you may have one or two pictures of niggas running around wearing fucking bath clocks because that's fucking what we did.
Or wearing bonnets.
Whatever. I'm just saying, B.
You're going to see a nigga walking around with that fucking stripper shit on.
Until, B, until.
I'm blind.
B, until it becomes paid with your clothes on, you won't see the shift.
Damn. Well, I guess we won't see it because we are deep in it right now.
We are way too deep in it to where just feels like that's the way you post a dress. It's just to me now it's become a uniform. It's like they don't even think about the fact that they have the ass is showing. They're just putting on a uniform. this is the way we're supposed to dress. This is what I see around me. This is how all the women are dressed. This is how all the girls are dressed. I'm putting the same thing on, and half my ass cheek hanging out the bottom of the fucking shorts does not matter. It does not matter. This is how we're supposed to dress. And
then nigga, why when that element talks to you?
And nigga, and why are you looking at me like that? I don't want to talk to you.
Your cheeks are out.
You think nobody ain't going to look at half your ass hanging out?
You know, it's, I wonder if it's possible if I can pull some honeys if I wore one of them motherfucking leisure suits like Mr. Furley wore and shit, you know, just to be different.
No.
Oh, okay.
Not unless you got your money phone to your ear.
Now, you got, matter of fact, you better be hopping out of Bentley.
Yeah.
And then you'll be able
Jim Jones sitting in the chair, let a whole couple $1,000 fall out your pocket in the restaurant or some shit.
And then now you're good.
Then with the Mr. Furley jump off
with
on?
With the Mr. Furley jump
with
off
the Furley jump
on. Because your money just bought it.
Okay.
You can have that goddamn JJ chicken hat on and it'll be all right.
All right, that's
you
what's
got that
up.
Money falling. All right, man, now let's wrap it up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
You got something to say, Kirk?
Nah. We're going to wrap it up.
So, all right, we'll wrap it up with this one. And this one, I just found out today and I sent y'all the thing and y'all went right where I thought you were going to go, which is fine. But goddamn, people who don't care about politics can click off now because we're about to talk about the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Wow.
And the current FBI indictment on said organization. Now, I didn't go all the way down the rabbit hole, but I went down the rabbit hole enough to agree with what you guys said in the text dialogue, but to also say, does that fucking make it right? Because it's bigger than what you guys just said on the text. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than a CI or a fucking FBI sending agents. It's bigger than that because we know.
So I'm going to keep it short because
let's keep it
when
short.
I hear it's bigger than that, that to me says conspiracy theory, and you know I don't do conspiracies.
This is not conspiracy talk. This is not conspiracy talk whatsoever. It's facts.
So I'm going to keep it short.
Okay.
To my knowledge. All right, the Donald Trump Justice Department is indicting everybody. Ask Letitia James, Comey, all them. You can get indicted by the Justice Department so easily, but what they haven't gotten is one conviction.
Ooh.
Now, this is a key thing. If you know the history of the Southern Poverty Law Center and their use of paid informants was in the 1960s when they were blowing up African-American churches and they sent white folk through there with money to pry them poor redneck white folks off their story. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Present day. And this is me being really quick because I'm going to wrap it up. The Southern Poverty Law Center took in gay and lesbian folks as clients. And so when they did their report, they named two organizations, Focus on the Family, Charlie Kirk and them, and the group who put out Project 2025. They named all three of them as terroristic organizations like Skinheads and Ku Klux Klan, you know, white supremacy organizations. They put them in the same boat. Okay, they put them in the same boat. So, in response to that, the Justice Department and the FBI dissociated with the Southern Poverty Law Center. Okay, the politics really, what they really want to do, because the ACLU already came out and was like, this is some bullshit. But really, what they want to do is strip the Southern Poverty Law Center of their 501c3 status as an organization, not, you know, as just a nonprofit.
Yeah. Right. So
basically,
so they won't be tax free.
Right.
Anymore.
So they won't be tax free. Mm-hmm. So basically, that is Trump, the Trump organization, their justice doing what they've done all along, like going to universities and was like, yeah, nigga, give me the dough. Going to TV stations, give me the fucking dough. Oh, they approached the Southern Poverty Law Center about giving them the dough, and they told Trump and them niggas, step the fuck off. Trump and them is like, okay, we're going to indict you. But look at the Justice Department and look at the Trump indictments. Name me one conviction. And that's why those folks at the Southern Poverty Law Center announced it before Trump and them announced it. We're under indictment. I knew about that before Trump and them announced it. Mm-hmm. I don't think they got the goods on them. I think this is just politics to a money end, but that's the knowledge I got. I'm out.
All of it's sickening. All right, Kurt.
Well, I myself just got up on that today because I had no clue. Well, I knew about the actions of the Southern Poverty Law Center, but I totally forgot, blew a blank on the whole shit. And then you said, I was like, what the fuck is this shit? So then I looked it up. The only thing I saw was the FBI dudes up there saying, giving their speech. I didn't go down the rabbit hole. I didn't want to go down the rabbit hole because it was too damn big of a hole. I said, fuck that. I'm not going down there. I'm just going to look at this, and I'm going to give my point of view. And my point of view off of this whole thing was FBI talking about niggas with CIs. Talking about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, huh? I'm like, huh? Law enforcement wouldn't even exist. Law enforcement would not exist without CIs. Because half the niggas that go to jail or get caught up is because of snitches. Because niggas that they pay, niggas that they get to pay to infiltrate shit. You know what I'm saying? They've been infiltrating for the longest time. Black Panthers got infiltrated and fucked over. Malcolm X got infiltrated and died. Fucked over. Martin Luther King got infiltrated. They infiltrated every fucking body.
Yep.
That's what they do. They pay
the
niggas
Black
to go
Panthers.
In. Every, I said that, but yeah, they pay they pay niggas to go in and do that. So how the fuck is the FBI going to stand up here and one of the main charges against these people is what you do on a daily basis? It fucked me up.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you. That was my initial thought. Like, what? But I want the story to breathe a little bit. I want the story to breathe to see if there's any more to it. Because if it's just that, it'll be another indictment that goes nowhere, right? But if there's a teeth to it, then I'm not gonna sit here and say, well, then we just got to look at them. No, we need to look at all of these organizations, and that is not a conspiracy theory whatsoever. This is known fact. You don't even have to care about the government to know all the stuff that goes on that's really illegal.
So I agree with you. Look, if the Southern Poverty Law Center is dirty, then yes, lift the skirt up. Let's see the whole examination. But again, like Kurt G said, you talking about informants? Okay, I'm talking about, well, then let's look at the emoluments clause and let's look at Jared Kushner's bank account.
Wait a minute. Don't say that name on this show.
Nigga,
I'm just saying.
Say that name on here.
Is that the FBI knocking on the door right now?
I'm just saying, B, right now, I'm not even really tripping off of that because, again, Trump has not indicted one person. I mean, he's indicted them, but he hasn't convicted one person.
But like you said, this is to me, like you said, this is a shakedown.
That's all.
A government shakedown. Like you said, it came to niggas' doors, was like, pay up, and we'll go away. And
they
them
got
niggas
no
was like,
nowhere.
Them niggas was like, man, fuck that. We ain't paying you shit. Get out of here.
But yes, it's not. I'm not. I wasn't when I sent it to you guys. I wasn't sitting here laughing. No, I was like, first thing, and that's why I sent you that other text that I said black speak in it, because it's like, you talk about CIs? What are we doing here?
Right.
But it's interesting. It's interesting to a point where as you look at these indictments, you know what happened to, I'm not saying his name. I know that's King Killer's boy. He loves saying the name. I don't. But you know, they was on his neck for every single thing. Got him for 31 cases of paying the shut up booty money. You're right. So he said himself he was going to be doing all this kind of stuff. And him and his people were just, what do you call it? They're just par for the course for what they've been doing and what they're going to continue to do unless, as long as he's in there. So
hit me.
But there better not be no teeth on that.
Hit me when they get a conviction. That's all
go.
I got.
There you go. All right, well, we gonna get off of that because right. I don't want to get caught up in.
Oh, we long. People done clicked out probably.
Yeah, well,
but don't click out until you get the Digital Freaks albums of the week.
Because they're here.
Yes, they are. All right, this week brought to you by Matt is Certain Ones Frog Brothers 4. That's Certain Ones Frog Brothers 4. and then brought to you by Pete. It's Dirty Digs, Digs Inferno. That's Dirty Digs, Digs Inferno.
All right, there you go. Yeah. All right. So, gentlemen.
This show had to be long, though, B. It had to be because we had some pent-up stuff we had to get off. Well, you know what I'm saying?
You know the Bambada thing was going to stretch it.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt.
And then y'all two sparring on that damn stripper culture.
But there was no sparring there. He kept trying to fight me. I'm like, nigga, I'm not fighting you. I agree with you 1,000%. Why you keep swinging at me, B? What? I'm agreeing with you, son. I'm just trying to give you where the fountain where I think it started at. I'm thinking we did this shit. This is our shit.
That's on that note, that's all she wrote.
No doubt. All right, we out to the break of dawn.
Oh, shit.
To the break of dawn. Gotta do it.
One.
Peace.